Oh, YouTube, you give me the funniest stories and dreams to develop nightmares from.
What?
Stop that.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Crafted Conversations. And it's that time of year. Pumpkin is here.
Pumpkin.
So, in this episode, we have a couple... We actually have a... What the fuck is this thing again? Autumn Maple...
By the brewery out of Orange County, California. It's a family rue. Familia rue. I don't know what that means.
And so we're going to talk about some... well, this is kind of in season, being it right just past Halloween.
Belgian-style brown ale.
Belgian-style brown. It's got some maple in there. But we also have a couple pumpkin beers, and we're going to do a little talking about pumpkins and pumpkin beer.
If you guys are part of the American culture, then you know pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin pie... Pumpkin covered pumpkin pops with pumpkin on top, sprinkled with pumpkin deliciousness and pumpkin shavings, are pretty much in during the fall. It's a very nostalgic kind of esoteric basis, the deliciousness of pumpkin and pumpkin spice. So pumpkin beers, here we are. Yeah.
Oh, welcome to the party, pumpkin. And joining us.
Are we going to have a party in the pumpkin patch?
No.
There's a lot of alliteration there.
I like the alliteration. Joining us again, Jared Gotti, award-winning brewer and pumpkin aficionado.
Pumpkin powder.
No.
Pumpkin savant.
Nice. That's good. I like that.
I like your verbiage.
We need to get like pumpkins, carve them, and then put beer in them and drink it out of the
beer. My God. We should.
Guys, you can actually carve the pumpkin out. You don't carve any of the... You need the outside intact. Pull everything out of the inside, and you fill it with sugar, and it ferments on its own. You seal the top back on the pumpkin with that wax that you melt like in a pan, and you seal it back.
Whoa!
I made one not this year, but the year before, and had a little bit too much to drink one night, and then pulled it out of my car and tripped and fell right into it, busted it into 1,000 pieces.
Did you like lick some of it off the floor?
I was like, my pumpkin. There's lots of ways to use pumpkins.
It's very Charlie Brownish.
But I mean, okay, so you put sugar in it, it starts to ferment. What do you do with that at that point afterwards?
You just let it ferment for weeks on end, and then you actually scoop out the liquid and have a alcoholic pumpkin.
Oh, I wonder if it's that's cool. How much liquid comes out? Whatever's in the pumpkin, basically.
Whatever, but like kind of
the ones we did 2 years ago failed. Obviously, I broke mine, and the other one broke while fermenting.
Just became mush.
It blew out. No, it blew out.
You had a pumpkin blow out.
Oh, yeah, because you're basically creating carbon dioxide. So
I think there's a spot that the guy who researched this missed. I think you probably have to put one of those little ferment things into it.
Little bubblers.
So that it has the ability to release some gases. But it was pretty cool, the whole idea behind it as a whole, following with our pumpkin.
Yeah, that's interesting. We might have to look into that. If anybody does that, please send us pictures and little shots.
Well, that makes sense, too, because in our internet research about pumpkin, we were finding that, the beer is quite old, like the whole idea of pumpkin beer. And it's an American thing because pumpkin is only native in North America. I don't know about probably South America, too.
But it's not European.
It's not European. So your traditional beers, you didn't have this. But, as people came to the side of the ocean... started making beers.
Are you actually saying that the Indians brought that to the table, the first Thanksgiving?
No, I don't think they should say that, but Indians probably didn't drink. They were probably sober.
They were just smoking,
delicious.
Because in every
plants.
Thanksgiving picture I see, there's pumpkins on the Thanksgiving.
Right, of course, but maybe
that was the idea. It was the fermentable sugars.
Yeah, because you needed a fermentable sugar, they were using pumpkin because it was so readily available in the United States. So, you got to get a little drunk here and there. And
because the malted, because there wasn't really malt yet. Like it wasn't, I guess, like, malt was brought over.
Yeah.
That was brought over.
That access was European more so. So it was like, do what you can.
Yeah. So they found the pumpkin. The pumpkin just had just enough sugar. So they created beer recipes. And even history.org said something about it. I mean, it's a legitimate statement or some sort. But essentially, basically what you were left with was... You didn't have malt. You needed the fermentable sugars. Pumpkin is essentially sweet, but we don't really use pumpkin now. Pumpkin is not in pumpkin beer, most likely.
No, it is.
Some beers.
I brew pumpkin beers.
Well, including...
We use a roasted pumpkin. I think a lot of places have gone away from actually doing the hard work of roasting a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And they just buy canned
pumpkin puree.
Like you put in your pumpkin pie and they, dump You actually put that in your in like a grain bag, and you just put it right into your it's in the boil. Pre-fermentation.
And you're the
brewer. Run it out and let it work, and but there's so many terms to remember. It gets hard to keep track of sometimes. Yeah. We've done a regular pumpkin this year, and then we've done a.
But the key is
we've done a rum pumpkin.
Oh yeah, God.
But I think where most people think there should be pumpkin is your Oktoberfest style.
Oh,
and there is no pumpkin in your.
There's not even
right, not even close.
Not even an inkling. There's even spices. So that's the other thing. We're going to talk about that rumpkin real quick, which is interesting. But I think probably the most common characteristic of pumpkin beers is the spices. Yeah, if there is pumpkin in them, that's cool. But I don't feel like pumpkin has a lot of flavor.
Yeah, because
those damn spices.
Yeah. Oh, the spices.
Oh, the spices. Yeah,
cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, vanilla.
Okay. Right. Which is an interesting one. Anybody who knows what allspice is, it's not actually a mixture of spices. It's an actual individual plant of its own, and it's the fruit or the berry of the allspice tree, which apparently emanates this odor from all parts, from the bark, the roots, the leaves. Like, it all smells like allspice, but it's not a mixture. Which is something I had to figure out. But pumpkin spice specifically is a mixture.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a baking mixture. Yeah. What Jared just said. Yeah,
well, it's the mix of all the same. It's kind of like mulling spices.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about in the next holiday
season. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to do some mulled wines, some mulled beers, some grogs.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So your fall Halloween spice, let's say, Halloween Thanksgiving spice is your pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice, yeah.
And that's, you know, it came to be with, like, what you put in pumpkin pie, and instead of having to measure each individual out, they've made a nice standardized mix.
Yep.
Mm. And then, you know, Christmas time, spice.
You're mulling spice, which is different.
Yeah.
Which has some of the very same characteristics.
Right,
some of them have, like,
but clove is your big different one.
For the winter spiced, like, seasonals.
And that was the story behind allspice. It was, Christopher Columbus, who, when he discovered the allspice plant, he named it pimenta, because in Spanish, pimento is pepper. He thought it was a pepper plant, but it wasn't. So its actual genius name is pimenta something something. But it has that clove prominence. That's probably one of the more closer related smells to it. And so it's this common misconception that it's a pepper plant or it's a mix, and it's actually just its own, which is kind of interesting. But stop it, phone. You're supposed to be off. Shh, phone. Shh.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Must be nice to have a social life.
Yeah. What are you talking about? You've got a social life. Just not allowed to tell anybody about it. Secret agent recruiter. Secret. No, I'm kidding. Listen to the other episode. You'll get it. So the cool thing about pumpkins was when pumpkins were so abundant, they were actually considered a common man fare. They were more of just a lower tier, very readily available item. So they're a food item that you could basically anybody could grow, they put it in everything morning, day and night, and it was one of those that was very hearty. So it's interesting that they were in beer. And what was the one that you had looked up?
Oh, the cocktail?
Or the liquor something about the liquor spirits or something. I don't know.
Well, pumpkin it was a popular the pumpkin beer that was made was a popular component to something like a cocktail that was comprised of rum, beer, and sugar. So it was just kind of like this mixture of sweetness and beer and rum that would comprise this cocktail, you know, and the beer primarily derived from pumpkin.
And it was saying something about how the doctors would basically prescribe it as part of liquor substitutes. Brand.
Yeah, well, you know, it was what was available, more or less. But no, the kind of medical, there was a little bit of medical history behind it too, apparently, where, you know, some physicians of back in the day used to prescribe pumpkin beer as kind of like a medicinal or pumpkin liqueur, things like that. So it's a little bit of a gray area.
Yeah.
So we, I don't know.
But it's interesting. I'm
sure some folks have done some research about it.
It's so funny. The conversations about Halloween and pumpkin and pumpkin pies and pumpkin stews. And if you've ever made a squash like soup, I'll bet you have, Jared, a little butternut squash soup. God, that's probably one of my favorite soups.
Hey, I'm making acorn squash soup right now.
Yeah, you are.
It's so funny. My roommate's been using a lot with acorn squash a couple days too.
They're good.
Love that acorn squash.
If you're allergic to nuts, you'll be fine with this. It's a squash, not a nut. I don't believe me. I'm not a doctor or whatever. So this beer that we're drinking, the brewery's Autumn Maple, this one's pretty This one is malty, mapley with spice. That's what I get. Yeah. Sweet and spice.
Not really a pumpkin beer, but it's
actually not overpowering pumpkin spice either.
No, it's definitely like more your fall seasonal. I like the maple syrup aspect. That's always fun. But I just love maple syrup.
Yeah, they say that this one is brewed with yams, molasses, maple syrup, and spices. And it says trick or treat on it.
Definitely kind of leans towards a barley one.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
What is the ABV on that?
Alcohol percentage. It's 10%.
10%? Oh, man.
Big baby.
It leans that way. So, like, your alcohol really is potent in this. And I think so it starts to lose, you know, it starts to lose some of its flavor because the alcohol is taking over. But it's smooth.
I wonder if it's an ageable.
I think in the next year, it'll get really nice and boozy.
God, we should do.
But those flavors might pop back out a year from now.
The question is, should we start keeping certain beers like our Saisons, our Sours, and our Seasonals and age them a year and see what they're like? And then do an episode on that?
Yeah, of course.
I think your Saisons aren't going to age as well.
Yeah.
If you're just doing a standard. Your Sours, you should always age. You know, and again, I was reading the How to Age Beer, so I still have a lot to go. But
that sounds like a cool book.
Getting to the point and, you know, making sure things are stored well and what you should store and what you shouldn't. I think that's where a lot of people fail is like, oh, anything can store. You know, your Coors Light definitely cannot store.
What do you mean?
I have a very strong.
But I think at anything over 10%, at 10% above can probably store pretty fine. Well.
Right.
But then it's all like, what is it going to become? Because like I said, it could lose its flavor characteristics and just, and, you know, turn into more of like an alcohol.
Yeah, I'm going to, we'll buy one of these and I'm going to speculate right now that the malt is going to drop out. The spices are going to mellow. It's going to have a stronger viscosity. It's going to be a little bit more heavy. And I feel that it's going to lose a little bit of that tongue dancing characteristic, but it's going to be sweet, but it's not going to be as, I don't know.
Definitely smell
it's going to be heavier. It's not going to be sweet, sweet sugar where it's just fucking like, oh, I don't know. I could be wrong.
I think it's going to be more plummy.
Plummy. Yeah. I could see that with the sugar is definitely taking over. I always get that plum and fig type. This almost has fig to it to me.
Yeah, and that's why beer. I said nobody's really watching me as I pour. That's usually what I get off of barley, a lot of the barley wines that I drink.
Barley characteristic? Yeah.
Mm.
Agreed. It's a good beer. So that's a good thing that you said that, the barley wine. That is definitely a good descriptor.
I didn't realize how boozy it was. I guess it should have made sense out of that, out of the shape of the bottle it's in.
They also don't put pumpkins in this one. There is no pumpkins.
There is no pumpkin.
Right.
This one.
So this is,
on their website, it's their take on a pumpkin beer. You said,
with yams.
You know, throwing. There's no yam in it either, actually, according to the website.
It says brewed with yams.
Maybe they brewed and threw them away.
Maybe they had brew flavor. Maybe they ate yams while they brewed. They say brewed with yams, that doesn't mean the yams are in it. They were just, the yams were next to it.
The yams were helping.
They were helping with the brewing process.
It's funny. It says nothing about yams. Actually, I missed it because I went right to the ingredients. Brewed with 17 pounds of yams per barrel.
Ah.
In other words, a lot of yams.
So they put a box of yams on top of the barrel.
To keep it from exploding.
So yams, they're using yams instead of pumpkins, but it looks like just raw. Like nothing.
That's kind of interesting. It's a very mellowy flavor.
It says right here, best stored in cellar at around 55 degrees in a dark place. Ideal serving temperature is 50 degrees. All right, we got to do this one day. We're going to take some of our beers that are cellared. Hopefully we'll have somebody who has some really nice ones, Jared, and we'll put them next to some wine and we'll serve them similarly at the same temperature and the same age, hopefully, which is a little bit harder with wine being so young.
Or we take some of those aged beers and drink them a little bit colder and then let them warm up and we can talk about
we could do that too.
How period. It changes, yeah.
The other fun thing we do is to figure out what the correct serving temperature is for a bunch of beers.
Oh yeah.
And then go bust bars for serving their beers way too cold.
Yeah. That would be a blast.
We got into that at one point. We could talk about that another time. Stop putting
your fucking pint glasses in the freezer, you godforsaken motherfucking server.
I ordered a craft beer the other day, and I've been in this place before, and I've been like, oh, can I get a glass? And they're like, yeah. And then they bring it out, and it's like a frozen block of ice. And this last time I was like, do you have a glass that's not frozen? And the girl tilted her head to the side and looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, just trust me on that. Just go with it. Just one that's not being stuck in the fridge. I get it. Like your Coors Light, your Pabst Blue Ribbon, serve as cold as you want. Make the mountains blue. I don't care. But when you're drinking real beer and craft beer, like let's drink it appropriately and you know, serve it in that 48, 50, 55 degrees
cash
range.
Condition.
And,
yeah.
You know, they sell fridges that, you know, do that for you, or you can buy a little device that plugs into your fridge.
And most of
and
them
will. And
you can
set it at the temperatures that you want.
Yeah, most of them go up. All your industrials will go up to about 70. That being said, Pints Pub, shout out to those guys. One of the first places I ever had a cask conditioned ale. Over there on 13th by the art museum.
Art museum.
Mm. Super
museum.
Cool place. I also I've only
dozens
been
dozens is across the street. Great dozens breakfast.
Mm.
Well,
so we kind of got into this earlier off air about where did the whole pumpkin beer is definitely like this kind of, you know, we can attribute to maybe to some American, like, you know, our European migrating pilgrims to the country and things like that. But, you know, more the craze on pumpkin is more very, very new, like maybe the 80s. And according to some of the stuff we looked up, it was Buffalo Bill's Brewery in California that did the first pumpkin beer with actual pumpkin. And
mass produced it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess it is a little bit mass produced. But according to the article that I found on the internet.
Which is always
they,
right.
They actually used a recipe from one of George Washington's recipes to make this beer. As an inspiration, not to the tea. So
it's been brewed. The discussion of whether or not it's an American product, it's definitely not. Who would be the other person that would brew?
Well, I don't American? Think that's the I mean, debate. I think it was more
South
like
America. Yeah, I got a better idea. Why don't you go fucking I'm gonna walk away?
I think it was more the idea of how old this goes back, and it's really kind of a new thing. You know, it's not like, well, you know, probably craft beer mint moved, you know, that kind of timeline.
Yeah, I give it 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, according to this, it was like 85 was like the first release on Buffalo Bill's Pumpkin Ale, where they actually.
Well, what about all the breweries before, you know, the whole 3-tier system knocked everybody out? Because didn't that basically turn our big producers into, that's another conversation.
That's
but basically before, you know, when we used to have before Prohibition, was it before Prohibition there was a ton of breweries, or was it after and before the 3-tier system? I forget the history, but at some point there was a whole shit ton of breweries. And then they all started getting bought out. And then I think the 3-tier system was put in place that it was producer, distributor, retail. And before that, there was a ton. So, I mean, somebody had to have been.
Yeah, maybe so. I think this is more documented.
Now it's more like a 17-tier system.
Now it's just a whole. Yeah, because what is it? Even distillers and brewers, they don't even have to go through a distributor anymore. They can sell straight to bars, restaurants. Depending
there's
on the state.
Too many laws and too many legalities.
And that's a whole nother episode.
And that is definitely a whole nother
That's episode. Like five episodes.
We should get into the laws and drink and then argue about them. Because if there's one thing I'd love to do, it's drink and argue.
About
I'm
laws.
Sorry to every ex-girlfriend I've ever had. I really am.
We should, why don't you grab that, one of the, actually grab both of those pumpkins so we try them.
Oh yeah, I'll grab both of those pumpkins.
Hey, settle down now.
Why does it always have to be me? Probably because I live in the mountains and things are a little scary up there.
But yeah, so apparently, so now it looks like there's about 400 plus pumpkin beers out there. And, you know, maybe there are a lot of twists on them, you know, just pumpkin spice, pumpkin spiced, or they actually have pumpkin in it, which is, you know, TBD.
Ooh, he's going to open a can of Upslope.
Ooh.
Is that from this year?
That is. Quiet. This is, I just got this up in the mountains. I was looking for some stuff. Pumpkin beer goes quick.
So down here, it's one of the hardest beers to keep on the shelf.
Yeah.
Their first attempt at pumpkin, they killed it.
Who is
this one specifically?
Last year's was not as good as the year before, so I'm kind of anxious to try this one.
So this is Upslope. What is it?
Upslope's limited release. They do a bunch of stuff. We did the Thai style YPA the other day. A white IPA, which is pretty good. So Upslope Brewing Company out of Boulder, Colorado, does a couple limited releases. This one is the pumpkin ale, and it's ale brewed with pumpkins and spices at 1 pint for about $5, I think. 7.7% alcohol. Let's listen to
quiet on set. Smells like pumpkin.
That's spectacular.
Sounds like pumpkin.
Wait, I'm smelling the mic, not the beer. I like Upslope in general. I carry the brown ale in the bar. I think it's an excellent, easy-to-drink brown ale. And overall, I
They are doing a very good job.
They're also one of the more stronger proponents of canned beer, as well as Bell's Pale Ale, who was essentially one of the first. But they do everything canned. And
those Northern Colorado breweries know how to can.
They do. Mm. They get canned often.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I get a lot of cinnamon.
Oh man.
But I get good cinnamon. I don't get like normal cinnamon. I get quality cinnamon.
Like you went to the spice shop
Savory.
And you bought some crazy cinnamon from the other side of the world.
Moroccan. I don't know. Marrakesh. I'm making up as we go on.
I think most cinnamons that are good are Asian.
Mm.
Asian. In
I believe you're correct.
So this one's
go to Morocco for saffron.
Saffron. So man, compared to
real drinkability for me.
Oh yeah, it's super. It's lighter on the mouth. It's not as heavy.
Definitely has pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely has
pumpkins. Not quite as malty as that. The one we what was this?
Yeah.
The brewery, the Autumn Maple. Yeah, not quite as malty whatsoever.
Though, yeah, you're 3 percentage points down, right? Yeah,
of course,
7.77
Oh, yeah, it's to the 10.
Very good. Let me see if I can get some pumpkin off of this.
There's a like this little floral balance in there that I don't know what that is.
That's a great beer. I mean, we always go. We used to have this debate about pumpkin ales when they came out. But like, some you get one that maybe it's good. Back, I don't know, a couple years ago, that was like when they were just being cranked out left and right. And then because a lot of them for me were like this milkshake. They were a freaking milkshake, you know, it was just thick and creamy and sweet, and it was just not savory enough to drink a whole. I could drink maybe a half of one, but I like one where I could drink the whole glass.
Were they more like porters and stouts? It seems like that's where everybody wants to start with flavor. Like, we're going to take a big, thick, heavy beer, and we're going to add flavor there because maybe it holds flavor better. But I think over the more years, we're starting to get this at, where our flavor's getting added to a lot lighter.
Which I like. Lighter beers. I mean, it's fantastic because I don't like those heavy.
This would be a worthwhile leave in a can for a year and
interesting
and drink next year.
That's a good question.
I think you'd get it from 7.7, maybe into the nines
because of
for
it's not gonna lose. Well, ferment in the can.
That's an interesting piece. Like,
yeah, the difference between
things will ferment still in bottles, but would it ferment in a can?
Would that be a good thing, or are you creating a can grenade? Yeah. Probably not, though, right? Because there's got to be stuff that sits out there for years. Well, I mean, I'm judging it based on my bad experiences with Miller Lite and Coors Light, and
it'd be worthwhile to see. Like, I'd be willing to try it, and if the can blew up, the can blew up. Your floral's coming from your hops. They don't give me a lot of the hops. Let me see if I can find something. Like, tell me a little bit more about the hop profile.
It's good. What I like is that it has that spice note and it has that little bit of a sweetness, but that floral note, it's just back-ended. It's flowery. We're talking like yellow flowers, not necessarily like honeysuckle, but there is that little bit of that brighter pollen, almost like a springtime flower, which is kind of interesting. So I don't know what hops that is, but that's what I get out of it.
You're definitely, I hear you there, man. The floral, it's definitely got some floral.
It smells completely different than what it tastes. I love it. It's like toasted and nutty, but not like
on
heavy
the taste
nutty,
or
just the smell.
The smell.
The aroma. Aroma. You're smelling all of us. I mean, you're listening to all of us smell. It's good. It's a good beer. Upslope has yet to disappoint me.
They do make great beer. God, it's good.
There's a guy I was watching on a... he's got his like beer diaries. I'll see if I can link it up. But he did. He stopped at Upslope first, and he tasted a whole bunch of beers. Really cool guy. Just interested, like the rest of us, talking and doing like a beer diaries journal and recording it and producing it online. It's not an actual TV show, and he gets some really good information. And the story behind them, those guys are pretty cool. Apparently, they went to South America. I'll have to double check. But they went somewhere else. One of the people that was brewing for them went. When there was a hop shortage, he went to like South America, or he went to wherever he was from, Peru, maybe, I don't know, and got a whole bunch of hops from there, and they still use them in a lot of their recipes because they're just a little more readily available. They've learned how to use them, I feel like, but also it's just kind of like very interesting international trade, kind of like coffee, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
I like it. It's smooth. It's mellow. Also, one of the other things that I realized the other day about Upslope, I like their beer. Because it's not highly carbonated like most American beers. So it doesn't just sit there and bounce off the tongue and just like kind of like prick at your tongue a little bit. There's no prick on the tongue with upslope.
No prick on the tongue.
Pretty good.
I'm trying to place this flavor or the smell that I'm getting. I can't figure it out yet. I'm gonna come up with it by the end of this.
I'll save it. We still got plenty more. Mm. Nope, that's not true. We've got about a quarter inch left.
A quarter. We got about 2 fingers worth.
It's a can. I can't see inside. I can't guess.
Their hops aren't listed anywhere. They don't want anybody reproducing, obviously.
Don't blame them.
Be nice to know what hops are in here.
I mean, just if you go talk type. To them.
Yeah, just, well,
maybe we'll
just
go talk
style.
To them. We'll do that tomorrow. No, we won't. I have to go back to Denver. I mean, to Denver, to the mountains.
Be nice when you have to just go back to Denver.
I know, right? When I just have to go back to work.
You know what? You know what I got out of this? The taste.
Don't say coriander.
No, cream soda. It's got this
cream
like
soda.
Fun cream soda, like old timey taste to it. Or like a birch beer or root beer.
Yeah, but it's
I wonder if it starts with like a cream ale recipe because they don't really talk about what.
Yeah, I could see that.
It could easily be you know palette. a base of a cream ale and grow from there.
It's real, real mild, but like I'm hypersensitive to the kind of root beer flavors. I used to have a serious aversion to root beer when I was growing up. I don't want to talk about it, but.
Tell us where the root beer touched.
It was a combination of root beer and bologna that totally.
Oh my god,
that sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
But I love root beer.
I punished your parents for that one.
No, it was not at their fault. It had to do with the grocery store and the delicious samples that they would have out. And me being a little kid running around and be like, "Oh, let me have samples."
Root beer, bologna. Root beer, bologna.
I
ate
a little too much bologna and a little too much root beer.
You blew your roots is what it sounds like.
I turned into a human salad shooter. That's what happened.
Wow. And I didn't even have any salad.
Fast forward 25 years later.
Oh my God, there's vomit everywhere. I'm just kidding.
Oh man.
It's a good beer. It's a very approachable beer.
I still, yeah, the cream soda is what comes to mind. Like that kind of old-timey cream soda with definitely the root. In it, birch or whatever you want to go for.
I want to go for some pizza. Personally. Oh, yeah? Oh, you mean in the beer.
Yeah.
No, it is... I can see what you're saying with that. Because there is those spice notes that you get out of the birch and sarsaparilla beers.
Ah,
like the actual
sarsaparilla, yeah.
And so it's got that little bit of a... Not peppery. It's just that little... Like that same little spice you get on from... Well... Ghost pepper beer.
Oh, yeah?
Green chili beer. A little bit of a zing on the tongue. All right, let's slam this back and touch the next one up. And we'll let Jared intro this guy and pop this puppy.
Oh, yeah.
What other things can I say?
Ooh.
That is sexy.
So we're looking at a little Frog's Hollow Double Pumpkin Ale.
Double.
Hoppin' Frog ale brewed with pumpkin and spices in parentheses cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, allspice and clove.
Oh, it doesn't say pumpkin
so
spice.
You know, maybe they're trying to cross the Thanksgiving Christmas line.
It's a transitional beer.
There's a place just south
Black
they
Friday
call
beer.
Frog's Hollow with cauldrons of fire in the fall, and they only speak in whispers of the name. There's a brewery, they say, who has the secret of spices picked just right. With a crying shout, they'll knock it out and hand you this Frog's Delight. 8.4 alcohol by volume, 76 original gravity, 7.3 IBUs. Light on the bittering.
Well, I'm excited about this.
The only thing I heard was 8.4% alcohol.
Well, the 70, what did you say, 73 IBUs?
Yeah, no, that doesn't
register. No, 7.3.
Oh,
IBUs.
So super
very low
7.3.
Profile.
Oh, wow.
Wait, 7.3.
Wow, that's super
and
Hop and
Frog
low.
Brewing is from not too far from my hometown.
Oh, really?
In Akron, Ohio.
Akron.
So Akron, as some people like to call it, you know, after the Akon phenomenon. Akon from Akron. But yeah, hoppingfrog.com brewery.
Let me give that let me give this a little spin around the block.
High spice notes coming off the nose of that beer. So I have a feeling it's going to be a little
big
Thanksgiving in your mouth-ish.
Thanksgiving, so
good,
as I like
it's
to
a
call
good
it.
Beer. Good beer.
Oh,
to end
wow.
With.
Oh, that's fun. Gingerbread.
Yeah, I you know, and that's
see, this is like if they... I would have smelled this right away, I would have been like, this is a Christmas ale. This is seasonal.
Not, yeah, I think they're trying to play the line. They've got some big competition for Christmas beers in Ohio.
Mm.
Because Pimp My Sleigh by Fatheads Brewery
wow.
is freaking amazing. So maybe they're trying to get a little ahead of the game and get out by Thanksgiving before Christmas.
This beer smells like a drink I do called the Orange Corduroy. And it's basically Breckenridge bourbon, a little bit of orange blossom water, orange juice, cherry Luxardo, and a little bit of honey syrup. So it's got like this cherry and spiced honey characteristic that I get out of it, which is kind of
interesting. Oh, I can get that. But yeah, it's definitely that, you know, like you were saying, if there's big competition on that, it's those Christmas ales, it's got this...
It tastes pumpkin-y. It's the clove without overpowering, but you have a definite roasted pumpkin flavor.
Yeah.
What's the... mixed in. The side of your tongue, how do you describe that?
Back is, it goes sour in the middle, bitter in the back, sweet in the front.
Is it astringent on the sides?
No.
Whatever,
that sounds like something else.
Whatever it is,
sweet,
like
sour,
the side
tart.
Of your tongue,
damn,
it was like if you were to take, you could take this, taste the allspice or the cloves in there because it's the spice that pulls moisture from the side of your tongue. And that's what I'm getting right now.
It's sweet, sour. What are the five flavors on the tongue? So it's sweet, sour, bitter.
Boop, 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 boop. Isn't it savory, sweet, sour? I don't know.
Maybe it is
savory. I don't know the approach.
Yeah, but, I mean, it really only sits on the middle and the
sense.
Back of your tongue. It doesn't sit on the front of your tongue. Uh-huh. It pulls, so it doesn't sit on the sides of your mouth at all. Nothing on the roof of my mouth.
It's yeah, this is
middle.
A really fun beer.
Yeah, it's balanced spice-wise.
Mm. Yeah,
and you definitely can taste the pumpkin.
At 7.3% IBUs, I was afraid this was going to be a malt bomb, sugar, tons of spice, just overdone.
It's real light.
It is. This is lighter than the other one. Of course, a little bit of alcohol content's a little bit less too, but this reminds me of my grandmother's homemade pumpkin pie, which had all the spices, and she also used to put...
The alcohol content's higher, actually.
8.4. No, than the first one.
7.7 on the
first one was 10.
No, this bad boy. Yeah. Not pumpkin, but...
But it reminds me of homemade pumpkin pie with a little bit of a coconut milk that my grandmother makes with amazing, delicious spices.
Coconut.
I think it was coconut milk. Maybe that was just during a conversation recently.
You know,
anyway.
Well, if you think about it, a lot coconut of people pumpkin? That make pumpkin soup or a lot of pumpkin soup that's made around the world, including like Jamaica and stuff like that, coconut
milk.
A huge ingredient. And now
and
that,
way better for you.
Yeah. And now that you say that, I can get a little coconut.
Yeah,
I can
like
get
a little bit of a dry
coconut
like
cream.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the coconut flavor, but the same effect that coconut has in your mouth.
Yeah. Creaminess.
Yeah, but not the same creaminess as this other one. It's actually still a little bit light, a little bit bright. A little it kind of coats and then backs off real quick. It's like the salivation point clears it all the way from the palate.
I really do like that beer.
Yeah, this is a really good beer. The guys over at Mondo Vino recommended this because I went in there looking for some seasonal or autumn/pumpkin beers and they were virtually out, but he was like, hey, give this one a whirl, see what you think.
They generally have a great selection, not always the best advice, but they might have hit it.
Like, you should totally try this one. I don't know why, but I'm just feeling it right now.
That's been my plague. I'm like, should I work at a liquor store, should I work at a bar? Because if I worked at a liquor store, I could have people coming back every day.
You should work at a liquor store on Tuesdays and Thursdays and a bar on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays and have your weekends off like the rest of the world. And
basically what he's saying is that, you know, Sunday's for Jesus and Saturday's for drinking.
Hey, I drink on Sundays just as much as I drink on Saturdays, but I do spend some time with the Lord beforehand.
Nothing wrong with that.
Sometimes you have to repent for all the bad alcohol you've chosen to drink. Crystal Palace, anybody? Yeah, that's a bad rail.
What would Jesus' beer of choice be?
Oh my God, this is a conversation that could be a whole...
I think we could have some fun with that.
That would be funny. Be like, what would
be Jesus? We got to get some
of
the church, though.
I think the man drank the wine.
Mm. I do too, but given the option, would you like beer? I feel like I see Jesus specifically. God, I don't know. It's a whole other ball game there.
All the same.
He'd make his own, basically, and it'd be better than everybody else's. All the same. Jesus, in a sense, I mean, it's just, I'm not a very religious guy, so I don't know how it works.
Three and one, one and three.
The Trinity? Is that
the Trinity? Gotcha. There you go.
And then, see, I remember stuff from Catholic school. Oh, my gosh. Remember
some stuff. That nun did not hit you hard enough.
Apparently. I have weird stories from school. But that would be interesting.
I feel like he'd like a brown ale. Like I feel like he, you know, not quite light, not quite dark, something right in the middle, encompasses a little bit of everything.
So a Mexican. I'm sorry, what?
Wow. Mexican lager?
Chocolate stout. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The chocolate stout. Man. Yeah.
Or no, the Mexican chocolate stout from Copper Kettle?
Yeah, yes. Probably still one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, that's
made a
good.
I've made cocktails that have mimicked that flavor profile of a beer, and I've used that beer in cocktails. It's so
probably one of my more favorite beers that changes every single year.
Because it's just different.
They never know how it's going to come out.
Never. It's always different flavors, but always similarities. Anyway, that being said, they use spices. They, as a matter of fact, use cinnamon in theirs.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's amazing how cinnamon does so well with darker beers in general. I feel like as a stout, porter, amber ale, brown ale, cinnamon is an easy go-to, especially if you're making cocktails, but a flavor component that you can see, especially if you're barrel aging something.
Mm.
You get the little baking spice notes from barrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow. Well.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. With good that,
job.
Hoppin'
Frog out of Akron, Ohio.
I'm going to have to say that was a good tasting overall. A little flash, quick bing, bang, boom tasting. So,
well, guys, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate you bringing on the homesteader / pumpkin savant / award-winning brewer. I think I'll come up with a new name every time I come on.
Yeah,
that'll be entertaining.
Award-winning pumpkin savant. Homesteader Brewer.
Yeah. So then again, real quick recap. We had the brewery's Autumn Maple, which we enjoyed. Thought it was a little malty, spiced. Then we had the Upslope Limited Release Pumpkin Ale, which we thought was a little bit lighter, kind of dance, some little floral notes there. Pretty damn good. And then the Hop and Frog. I think generally, gentlemen, the Hop and Frog Double Pumpkin is...
impressive.
I'm going to say that's probably all of our favorite.
I'm going to finish the night with
that. Yeah. Do it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, quick cap on some pumpkin trivia and info for the season. And if you want more information, check us out at craftedconversations.com. And also, feel free to shoot us some messages on Twitter and Facebook, both of those being the / followed by Crafted Convos. You'll find us there, at Crafted Convos on Twitter and facebook.com/craftedconvos. Hit us up. Give us your information. Give us your feedback. If you try these beers, let us know if we're, you know, set in the right mindset there with what we think of these beers.
What does that even mean?
Tuesdays
we should have worn costumes.
We should have.
I have one.
I could get a frog costume. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Join us again every so and then so forth.
I was a pumpkin once.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Crafted Conversations. Check out our website, craftedconversations.com, where we'll have show notes and links and photographs and videos and other things. Follow us on Twitter at craftedconvos, and please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. We'll talk to you again soon.